All right, so get your Bibles out today. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible with you today or you have a different translation, that's okay. You'll be able to follow along on the screen. We don't have notes for you to hold in your hand, but all the notes will be on the screen, so there's no problem there as well. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Title of the message. Anybody? The retention rate is amazing, Miss Jenny.
I have an excuse.
You weren't here, bro, so you're all right. We talked about genuine Christianity. I want you to say that with me. Genuine Christianity. Talk about genuine Christianity. And you know, I got a little caught up when I was preparing the message thinking that people were going to think I was talking about salvation and how you needed to earn your salvation by all these things that you do, and they were going to get upset that I was talking about genuine Christianity looks like this. But as I prayed about this week, and it really had bothered me, the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart, and He said, listen, I wouldn't have the stuff in the Bible if I didn't want you to do it. I wouldn't have this stuff in the Bible if I didn't want you to do it. Christians, listen loud and clear this morning. As I get into this message, you need to understand this. Whether you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and today's the day your heart's going to be convicted that you need to turn to Jesus, or if you're a Christian today and you just need to do a lot of growing up in your faith, you need to start doing the things that we're preaching about in this series. These are Jesus' teachings. They're passed on by the Apostle Paul. And there are things that genuine, authentic, real Christians are doing. We're making strong attempts to do, prayerfully, to grow into these things. If you're the type of person that can walk into the church today, and as I preach through what I'm going to preach through today, or last week, or next week, and you say, I don't have to do that, you've got a big problem. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I don't care if this hurts your feelings, I don't care if this steps on your toes. If you come in here today and I share these things with you out of the Scripture and you can walk out and say, I don't have to do that, you either don't know Jesus as your Savior or you need a serious attitude adjustment as a Christian. Amen? All right, I want you to be clear on this. Genuine Christianity will look like the things I'm going to preach about today. No way around it, okay? Genuine Christianity. So let's read our scriptures today. You ready for this? Romans chapter 12, starting with 10b. This is the other half of 10. It says, honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in what? Zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. I know these are words that we don't use a lot. You don't walk around saying, man, I've got a lot of fervor today, right? I feel very zealous. I mean, that's not something we use every day. I will explain these words. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor doing what? Serving the Lord. Be joyful in what? Hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Now, folks, these are instructions for Christians to live by. There's no other way to describe this passage or the passages that we're studying other than if you are a genuine, real Christian, right, who is going to live in the reality of God's Word, you're going to try to live like Jesus wants you to live, these are things that you're going to have to do. These are things that you're going to have to do. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's a tough one. We're going to get into that. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Doesn't sound like a major one, but they list it right along with everything else, don't they? Right? So we're going to get into that as well. Let's take a look at our main idea, Miss Terry. I want you to repeat this after me. It's the same one for 3 weeks. We're going to reread it. Genuine Christianity, results in genuine love, for God and others. And what you're going to see as we study this passage in Romans 12 is that every single scripture that I'm going to be teaching is either going to reflect you showing love to God or you showing love to somebody, right? every single one of them, I promise you, are going to be about loving God or loving other people, and some of them are about doing both, right? Some of them are about doing both. So genuine Christianity results in genuine love for God and for others. Let's take a look at our first pick this morning, Miss Terry. What's this lady doing? She's scrubbing a toilet. Now, some of you know this, and some of you don't. But when I was in college, one of the jobs I had was working for the city of Fordyce at the Civic Center. And while I did just about everything there was to do, from driving tractors to refereeing volleyball games, I also was a janitor, right? That's part of my job, is I had to clean toilets and mop floors and scrub carpets and paint walls and do all the things a janitor or a maintenance man would do. And I remember going into work, and I would start working real early. I opened up the Civic Center every morning, and I'd mop, and I'd buff the floors, and I'd scrub spots out of the carpet, and I'd clean the toilets. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I work really hard. I'm doing a really good job. And then my coworkers would come in. I'm not talking about Matthew or Will. They worked in the afternoon. But the day people would come in, and they wouldn't do any work. I mean, they just sat around. They sat in the office. They talked. You know, they socialized. They'd piddle around with something, maybe spray some Lysol on a trash can. But they never would actually do any real work. And I remember the boss didn't come in till late in the day. She didn't come in with me in the morning, right? So by the time she got there, what do you think the rest of the staff started to do? Woo! They started to work then, Miss Mickey. And she would come in, and you know what she would do? She would praise them. And she never praised me. She never once said, great job, Shane. The floors look great. You got that spot up in there on the carpet. You know, and she would praise the people who weren't working. And I remember, Billy, that got all over me. I mean, just as a human being, I think some of you could probably relate to this, maybe in your own job or your own profession, where you're doing a lot of work, you're doing a good job, you want some recognition, you want somebody to pat you on the back or at least acknowledge you're doing something, and then the people who aren't even working are getting all the credit from what you did, right? And I remember walking around just getting so upset. I can't believe that she's not giving me any credit, that she's not, you know, giving me any encouragement or telling me I did a good job, and they're getting all my honor. Well, folks, the first part of the scriptures that we're going to discuss today is talking about the attitude that I had, which might seem to most people that it was an okay attitude, right? You had a right to be upset. You had a right to want some honor and some respect and have your boss come and say, doing a good job. These other people, they're not doing a good job. I'm going to fire them. Get some more folks like you. You think, you know, as a human being, you naturally say, that's the way it ought to be, right? But Christianity, just like in so many other cases, is countercultural. Jesus Christ taught the opposite of what you would naturally do. He says, and he teaches, humility. Say that word, humility. And here in Romans 12, Miss Terry, can you go back to the scripture because I want to read it again. Here in Romans 12, he says, honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. Go ahead and go to my first point, Miss Terry. I want to talk to you about this, church, because it happens all the time. It happens in your job, happens in your home, and it happens in churches. We fail to honor one another above ourselves. A lot of times we want the glory, we want the praise, we want someone to acknowledge us, and then when other people are being acknowledged, other people are being honored and shown respect and given praise, there are some of us here that struggle with that. There are some of us here that want to say, hey, that praise ought to be coming this direction. I want somebody telling me I did a good job. I want somebody patting me on the back. I don't want them talking about Barbara and Tim, right? It's a selfish attitude. It's a prideful attitude. And Christianity teaches that Christians aren't supposed to have that type of attitude. A Christian would have walked into my job, scrubbed the toilets, mopped the floor, scrubbed the carpet, painted the walls, and if nobody ever did a single thing and got all the praise for it, Miss Barbara, I just said, praise God. You know? That's okay. I don't need the praise. I don't need the honor. I don't need the pat on the back. I got Jesus.
Amen.
Right? But don't sit here and tell me that you never felt that way before. And see, in a church, it can be particularly destructive. And let me explain to you why it's destructive in a church. I'm your pastor, okay? So there are a lot of things in the church that I've got my hands on, my mind is working on it. You know, I got lots of projects that I have input on. You know, I'm involved in a lot of stuff in the church. So when I preach a good sermon and someone comes up to me and says, Pastor, that was a great sermon today. Really spoke to my heart. Or I say, Pastor, you work so hard. Thanks for coming to visit. Thanks for going to that hospital. Thanks for this. It makes me feel good, right? But they also praise other people. See how this works? I've heard a lot of people praise Bobby and Linda for all the hard work they do. Or Ken and Mandy, or Leslie and Jamie, or Nina and Norm, or all the people in this church that contribute. People are good about keeping praise on them, right? Well, what if I had that same attitude in the church that I had at my other job, Miss Gloria? I would be unhappy that someone else was getting praise for something they were doing for the kingdom of God. Anytime you are unhappy with someone in the church receiving honor and praise, you are unhappy with kingdom ministry. You're unhappy with them serving the Lord, and that's just wrong. Amen? In fact, as your pastor, what I ought to do, and this is what I do, praise God, He's delivered me from this particular thing, and I'm hoping today if anyone's struggling with it, He'll help deliver you from it as well. When I hear someone in the church get praised, I automatically say, praise Jesus, right? We're getting work done. We're doing ministry for the kingdom. Somebody's going to hear about Jesus. The church is going to be ready for Sunday. We got work going on, people involved. It excites me. And I want to praise you. Right, Miss Ella? I want to praise you. I want to let you all know how great a job you're doing. I want you to be honored more than I'm honored. The tricky part is for everybody in the church that's a Christian to feel that way. Then what you have happening is everybody's getting honor and they're not taking any credit for themselves. Are you still going to get plenty of honor? Still going to get plenty of pats on the back? They're just not going to be from yourself. God will give it to you, right? You are serving the Lord and you should be happy that other people are serving the Lord. But even in the context outside of the church, we should always honor others above ourselves. So if you're here today and you struggle with that, today's the day you need to pray about it and ask God to help deliver you from that attitude that you always need the credit, that you always need the honor, that you always need the pat on the back. Hey, shift it to somebody else. Say, don't give me the praise. Praise those folks. They're doing a great job. Take the emphasis off of yourself and put it on somebody else. Amen? Alright, so I hope you're ready for that. Genuine Christians honor one another above themselves. It's Christian teaching, folks. That's humility. Honor one another above yourself. Let's take a look at the next one, Miss Terry. What's this? Might tell what it is? Tell me what it is. It's a stout poodle, right? This poodle has zeal and fervor, okay? I told you we'd get into those words, right? This poodle has zeal and this poodle has a fervor, right? It's energetic, it's passionate, it's aggressive, it's ready to go. Whatever it's going after, it wants it so bad, it's bending that thing, right? I have a feeling that's doctored up a little bit. But I want you to look at this picture and I want you to understand metaphorically, this is how all Christians should be about serving the Lord. Can you see it? Can you picture it? I want to be so excited about Jesus. I want to be so excited about serving God, so enthusiastic about what He's given me to do in this life, so energetic, so ready for the next day, that nothing is going to hold me back. I'm going towards that goal, towards that mission, and I'm never stopping. I'm never letting up. Something snags me, I'm yanking it down. Are you following me this morning, church? Are you following me? I don't know, because you're quiet. You're sleeping. See, I'm talking about zeal and fervor, and you guys are, yeah, I'll follow you. All right. Yeah. We're real zealous, man. Most zealous church ever. Let's take a look at our first, or let's take a look at our next point. This scripture says, serve the Lord with zeal and fervor. Now, I looked at some commentaries, and as much as I love the old commentaries, I think sometimes they get it wrong. And I'm hoping that I get it right today, and I think after my study that I have. But this idea that the first part of this scripture is talking about being lazy is only half true. Okay? It's talking about never being lazy when serving the Lord. Okay? Now, it's not a good thing for a Christian to be lazy in general. But this scripture specifically is talking about having eagerness to serve the Lord and fire in your spirit for Jesus Christ. Literally, in the Greek, that second word, fervor, means fire. I mean, most people don't know that, but when you study the words that were written in Romans, it says that you are supposed to be eager to serve the Lord and have a fire in your soul for Jesus Christ. You are constantly to be looking for ways to passionately, energetically, eagerly serve Jesus Christ. Let's read the scripture again. Miss Terry, can you bring our scripture back up? And we're going to read this again today. Never be lacking in eagerness. All right, I'm going to translate the word for you. Never be lacking in eagerness, but keep your spiritual fire serving the Lord. Zeal and fervor don't make a lot of sense to you, but eagerness and fire probably do. Never be lacking in eagerness, but keep your spiritual fire serving the Lord. Now let me talk to you. You can go back to the point, Miss Terry, if you want. When I first started in ministry, I had spiritual fire. I had eagerness. I drove a Mazda 323 that was wrecked, no AC, ugly, and I could have bought another car. Most people don't know this, and I don't share it a lot, but you know why I drove that car? Because I thought it was my duty as a Christian minister to drive the most humble, unassuming vehicle that I possibly could. Now, as I get older and I have kids, things change. But I want to tell you that even if I was wrong, my heart was in the right place. And I drove that junky car, not because I had to, Miss Barbara, but because I felt like it was my duty as a minister to say, Christianity is about humility. We're not about Mercedes and Cadillacs as ministers, right? We're about serving the Lord. I was a little misguided, okay? I was a little misguided, but my heart was in the right place. Amen? When I first started in the youth ministry, I didn't get paid a dime and never thought I would get paid a dime, never anticipated being a preacher or a minister as a career. I never once even asked for a dime. I assumed I was going to serve Jesus an extra 20 to 30 hours every week on top of my job, Brother Billy, with no pay. And I was okay with it. It never even crossed my mind that I ought to get a dime for it. In fact, I hated the idea of taking money. And when Gary asked me to be the pastor of the church, I told him no the first time, didn't I, Gary? He said, we're interested in you trying out as a pastor. I said, hey, I don't want to do that. It was never my plan to get paid for doing this, never. Because I had spiritual fire. I was eager to serve Jesus because I loved Jesus, and I wanted people to hear about Jesus and the gospel, and I wanted to serve Him for the rest of my life and put myself out to do it, right? That was my energy back then. Folks, this happens to everybody. You got an honest pastor, and I'm going to share it with you, okay? Over time, you can lose that fire. You can lose that eagerness. And you get into, I'm just going to get the job done mode. You get into the checklist mode, like I'm supposed to clean the church, so I'm going to go do it, check it off, you know. Or I'm supposed to go visit so-and-so, check it off. Or I'm supposed to... Anybody else here ever feel that way when they're serving in the church? Something I'm supposed to do, I'm going to get it done. Now, I'm not telling you I've lost all my fire or all my eagerness. I still have a lot of it. But I can tell you that my eagerness to serve Miss Gloria and the fire in my spirit has been like a roller coaster. And I've had times where I'm on fire for Jesus and I'm ready to go. And I've had times where I've been at low points and I was just on autopilot. Anybody else ever been there? If you're here today and you're on autopilot and you don't have any energy for Jesus, you don't have any spiritual fire left, and you're just doing it because you're supposed to do it, you're serving because pastor needs you or because you're used to it or it's your job and you just got to wait until, you know, the job title is up or the time is up that you're serving, and then you're just going to quit because you're really not into it, you don't feel it. Folks, there's something wrong when we lose our spiritual fire, when we lose our eagerness to serve Jesus. And I can tell you what happens to me 9 times out of 10. Are you ready for this? 9 times out of 10, I lose my eagerness and my spiritual fire because I take my eyes off of Jesus Christ and I put my eyes on people. I don't know if you're following me this morning, but I take my eyes off of Jesus, who I'm supposed to be serving, who's supposed to give me the eagerness, who's supposed to light the fire, who's supposed to keep me moving and give me motivation. I take my eyes off of Him, and I focus on people. And I mean that in a bad way. I start listening to what people think, their opinions, their criticisms. I feel the pressure, right, of the ministry. I feel people saying, well, he ought to do it this way, or he ought to do it this, or I spend more time doing this, or, you know, I don't really like how that's going, or this is going. And when I start listening to people, or looking at people, you only preach so many sermons, right? And you think, man, these folks ought to be getting it by now. I've been pastoring 7 years at the same church. I was a youth pastor 3 years at the same church before that. Some of the people going to church, DJ, you're an example, he was in the youth group when I was the youth pastor only. And now he's going to church here. And I'm thinking, I have preached these messages hundreds of times, Miss Wanda Fan. And you look at folks and you say, whoo, they just still not getting it.
I just got to tell you, to back up your story, when Moses took his eye off of Jesus and came down out of that mountain, he had it all, but he gradually lost.
Well, let me tell you something. Yep, he did. Let me tell you something, folks. For me, and this is just me because I'm working on me right now, I have times where I lose my energy, my passion, my fire for ministry. And it's really never because I don't have the energy or the time or the know-how or any of that. It's because I start looking for my affirmation from people. How's Billy Mickey feel about this service today? Maybe I need to switch something up. You know, how's Barbara and Tim going to respond, you know, to what I said right there? You know, how's Travis, what's he going to think about whether or not I go to this or go to that? Or, you know, you start focusing on people. You get your eyes off of Jesus, and you will get depressed in the ministry because you're not here to please people. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to love people. I'm here to serve people. But I'm not here to please people, and you're not either. You're not here to please your pastor. Terrible reason for you to get involved in ministry. Make the pastor happy. Terrible reason, right? Because I'm a human being. You're never going to meet all my expectations, right? I'm going to always have judgments about you, right? And all you're always going to have judgments about me. Listen, do not look for your affirmation from human beings. It says to keep your eagerness and your spiritual fire for serving who? The Lord. You serve the Lord and you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you will always have energy and you will always have spiritual fire. You start trying to please people, you're going to lose it fast. You start looking for your affirmation and how other people respond to your ministry. Well, they ought to respect me more. Or they ought to appreciate what I do. Or they ought to show up more for church. Or they ought to get involved in a ministry. That's a one-way trip to getting disgusted with ministry right there. And I'm not the only one involved in ministry. This scripture is for everybody. If you're involved in a ministry, whether it's a prayer ministry or a bus ministry or youth ministry, children's ministry, Sunday school class, whatever it is that you're doing, you are not serving the people first. You are serving Jesus Christ. And if you will serve Him faithfully and keep your eyes on Him, you'll do a great job serving the people. Amen? And then you won't be worried about anything else because you turn them over to Jesus. If you're a genuine Christian today, you can show your love for the Lord by serving Him with zeal and fervor. Amen? I want everybody in this church, including myself, when God gives us a job to do, a task is at hand, we look like that poodle trying to drag down that meter, right? I want us to have energy and passion and fire. Ask yourself today, do you have those things? Or have you let them slip away, like I have many times in my life? If you have, pray today that God will give you that spiritual fire back, like the first day you were saved. Anybody remember that? You gave your life to Jesus, you was ready to go. 10 years later, I still love Jesus, but I'm not quite as ready to do the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing. It happens to all of us. Don't let it be the theme of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's take a look at our next pick, Miss Terry. Does anybody know who this is?
Joni Erickson
Tata. Now, some of you don't know who she is. Some of you know her story well. But basically, her story starts as a teenager. She's out diving with some of her friends, and they're at a lake. And they go diving off, and they don't realize the water is as shallow as it is. And she dives into this lake head first, and she breaks her neck. And when she breaks her neck, she's paralyzed from her neck down completely. She has no control over her body whatsoever, from her neck down. Now, as she laid in the hospital bed and as she started the long road to recovery, she shares in her testimony about how she got really depressed and she started to question whether or not it was worth living anymore. She started to question whether or not God loved her, because if God loved her, how could He allow something like this to happen to her? You know, she started to question her faith, her reason for life. And God spoke to her heart and told her that He wasn't done with her, that He had special things in store for her. She kept her hope. She was patient in tribulation. And she was constant in prayer. And because of that, this lady right here is one of the world's most famous mouth artists. She paints and draws with her mouth only. And she does beautiful work. She has a foundation that she organized that helps support and lift up anybody who is handicapped around the world, a huge organization that she heads up. She speaks at conferences. She's been seen on videos, and she goes to churches and shares her testimony. She's written 40 books. How many of you have ever written one? No takers. I tried once. It was hard. So I haven't finished it. 40 books. Folks, she can't use her hands. She can't walk. She has no control over any of her body. Everything this lady has accomplished in her life, she has done it with her faith in Jesus and her mouth. Amen? That's it. And I want to share with you, because I know all of us, we hit low spots. We have times in our life where we're facing odds that seem insurmountable, where life has thrown us into a place that we never wanted to be, never want to be again, where Satan's on our back, he's trying to rattle loose our faith and get us away from the Lord. We've had opportunities in these moments to do one of two things. We can walk away from the Lord, or we can walk towards the Lord. And that's what the scripture that I'm going to share with you right now is talking about. Miss Terry, if you can bring up the third point. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Three things, and they're all about showing your love for God by trusting him on. I want you to say that word out loud. Trust.
Trust.
Trust. How many of you here trust God? Ask yourself this. Are you joyful in hope? What that means is that nothing's going right. Your life could be a complete shambles. Everything that you want, desire, and long for is not part of your reality. You could have the worst life in the whole world and still be joyful in hope. Because hope is about what's coming, not about what is. Amen? So how many of you here, honestly, genuine Christians can say, I am joyful in hope despite my circumstances? No matter how bad it gets in life, I don't get down. Never. Because my joy comes from hope. Amen? That's a lot harder than most people would admit. My life doesn't have to be good right now, because my joy comes from what's happening in the future, right, Miss Evelyn? From what God's going to do, not what's happening right now. Think about the second one. It goes right along with the first one. Patient in affliction. Some of your Bibles will say tribulation. Patient in affliction. How many of you here, when you were experiencing affliction or tribulation, rough patches, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, you know, whether it's emotional, whatever it is, you're patient. You just say, no matter how long this lasts, no matter how long I have to drink from this cup, I'm okay. Because I'm patient in affliction. I'm patient in tribulation. I'm joyful in what's going to happen later, not about what's happening now. You see how this works? Because I love Jesus Christ and I trust Him. Very few Christians really trust God. Because we're not joyful in hope. We're not patient in affliction. And we're not faithful in prayer. For many of us here today, the rougher it gets, the less we pray. Because we feel like God has abandoned us. God's run away from us. God's not listening to us. He's not responding to us anymore. Where is God? The faithfulness in prayer only lasts when we're on a mountaintop, not when we're in the valley. So let me ask you this question today, folks. This lady, I share her story with you. She was joyful in hope. And in fact, folks, she'll probably never walk again. She'll never use her arms. You know what her hope is? The resurrection. That's it. Her hope is the resurrection, right? And it gives her joyfulness even on the worst day. Most of you don't know this unless you keep up with this lady, but recently, in 2011, she had breast cancer. I mean, that's enough for one person in one lifetime. But that's just another thing that's happened to her. She kept on rolling. Because she's not worried about what's happening now. She's joyful in the hope. What's to come? She was patient in affliction, and she was faithful to take these things to the Lord. How many of us here do that? Genuine Christianity is about loving God and trusting Him to take care of us. Whether that's at the resurrection or whether it's right now, our attitude shouldn't change. Amen?